When I was in seminary, all of us seminarians were given an opportunity to participate in a study about ethics at the nearby college. And I thought, well, that sounds kind of interesting. So I signed up. And I was given an appointment at a certain room in a certain building at a certain time. And when the day came, I went to the appointment. But as usual, I was just barely on time. So I was in a hurry. And as I came up to the building, to the door of the building, I noticed that there's this young man sitting on the ground kind of in the bushes next to the door. And he was hacking and he was coughing and he sounded just awful. And a whole lot of things went through my mind really quick, you know, like they do.
I'm late.
Well, my first thought was, this guy looks terrible. Maybe I should stop. And the next thing was, if I stop, I'll be late. And I thought, well, he's probably a student. And they've got, you know, a health center here for students. And someone else is going to help him. So I went on in. So I got to the appointment. And I was right on time. And there was a couple of people in there. And they said, we just got a few questions for you. Did you notice a young man outside the door when you came in? I said, yeah. Did he seem to be in trouble? I said, yeah, he kind of did. Did you do anything? Did you stop? I said, no. Thank you, that's all we need. This is a study to see whether seminarians are any more compassionate than everybody else. So I failed the test. Afterwards, a lot of us seminarians had a discussion about this at seminary. It turns out that seminarians aren't any more compassionate than anybody else. Well, if there's one characteristic of Jesus that the Gospels show us, it is that he was a person of compassion. Wherever Jesus went, whatever he did, he always showed compassion. He's coming up to the gates of the town of the city of Nain. And there's a large crowd with him. You know, in the Bible, a lot of things happen outside the gates of a city. It seems to be kind of a common theme through a lot of stories. And as this Jesus and this crowd come up and approach the gates, there's another crowd that's coming out of the gates of the town, and they're going to the cemetery. It's a funeral procession. Young man has died. He's being carried on a pallet, and his mother is near the pallet there. She is a widow. This was her only son. Now, being a widow in biblical times was like a sentence of poverty. A woman herself couldn't own property, couldn't earn a living. And without a man, it's like a woman was just cast off, sort of an object of pity. And maybe a few handouts. So you can imagine her despair as she's going out to bury the only hope she had in her life. Well, it says that Jesus sees her and he has compassion on her. The word compassion, it means suffering with. Passion is suffering. Calm is with. To suffer with someone is compassion. And the Greek word that was used there in the original writing of the gospel was a word that refers to your guts. To have compassion is to experience something in your inner being. Gut-wrenching is the sort of the idea that we get when we think of this kind of compassion. So Jesus was moved in his inner being when he saw the widow. I think he took the whole scene in at once and immediately he figured out what was going on. And then the gospel, the camera of the gospel sort of zooms in and we're given a description of exactly what happens then. What Jesus does is he goes up to the mother first and he looks at her and he engages with her personally. He says, "Do not weep." And then he goes to the pallet where the man is being carried and he touches it, which of course is unclean. And the bearers stop. And he says, "Young man, I say to you, rise." And the young man sits up and he begins to speak. And then it says Jesus gives him to his mother. "Here is your life back given to you." Compassion. It's a story about Jesus' compassion. It's hard to miss the parallels between the Old Testament and the New Testament story. The Old Testament story is about how Elijah the prophet revives this little boy who died. He was the son of the widow of Zarephath. There's a lot of parallels. There's the gates of the city are mentioned in both stories. There's a widow and her only son who dies in both stories. And the son is revived or brought to life again in both stories. So what the stories are telling us is about the compassion of God. God is compassionate. God cares about his creation. God cares about all the things he has made, the people, the earth, the whole creation. God is a God of compassion. Karen Armstrong is a Bible scholar and a writer. And she's written a book called 12 Steps Towards Becoming More Compassionate. And she's also helped write the Charter of Compassion, which is about signing on to being more compassionate people and countries. And she says, how can we be more compassionate people? How can we improve our sense of compassion? She notices that all religions have something like the golden rule in them. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, which is about compassion. And we all agree on that. The question is, how can we be more compassionate? How can we have more compassionate behavior? She says that compassion is a higher level behavior. You know, in our primitive brain that we sort of received from our ancestors, we have the survival instinct, food, fight, and flight. But as humans have evolved, we've learned that if we are compassionate with each other, we have a better chance of survival. So that's what we want to tap into, not our survival brain, but our higher brain that shows us that it's a good thing to relate to other people and understand them. She says that we can improve our sense of compassion by starting with ourselves and then gradually expanding our sense of compassion to others until it includes everyone. The Bible says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So maybe we should start with ourselves. Oftentimes we are so hard on ourselves, and then we just extend that to other people. We're hard on them too. Or we have such a low self-understanding that we treat other people the same way. She says maybe we should have compassion on our own self first. And then we can begin to be compassionate to those around us, our family and our friends. And then beyond that, we can expand it to our community and to those we don't know and even to the whole world. That's the level of compassion that Jesus had. Universal compassion for everything and everyone. It's a good idea, I think, sometimes to have a compassion exercise and imagine what it's like for other people to soften our heart and to understand what it's like for them. What's it like to be a teenager who's bullied and doesn't have a very good self-esteem? What's it like for that person? What's it like for someone who has put in job application after job application and keeps getting back the same email? Your qualities don't match our needs at this time. What's it like to be an older person on a fixed income and having to make a decision to buy food or to buy medication? How helpless that must feel. What's it like to be the mother of a refugee family who's stuck in a camp fleeing and left everything behind, trying to take care of her children and hope for a better life. How desperate that must feel. So as we use our imagination, as we try to understand what it's like for other people and make it something from our inner being, from our guts, that's how we can become more compassionate. I know it's possible to have compassion fatigue. Sometimes it seems like the needs of the world are so great that there's nothing we can do about it anyway, and so we just quit worrying about it. I think that often happens when we're overwhelmed with the news, and we just hear and see and read so much bad news that it just becomes overwhelming. And sometimes I think we have to stop watching so that we can focus on something that we can do about. Compassion means living from the gut. It means being in touch with our emotions. Not living from the head, but from our center. You know, Karen Armstrong says that some people would rather be right than be compassionate. And I think it should be the other way around, don't you? Living from a center of compassion is what we're called to do as human beings. You know, the prayer book has instructions for saying the prayers of the people. It says we should pray for ourselves. We should pray for our community. We should pray for the nation. We should pray for the world. We should pray for all who are suffering and all those who have died. It has that sort of expanding circles of compassion that we're called to use. So the gospel story today is a miracle. Jesus raises this son, this man, from dead to life. But even more important than the miracle in the story, I think, is the example of compassion that Jesus gives us. If God is compassionate, shouldn't we be compassionate too? Amen.